It's time again for the one show that takes a look at business from a different perspective, the coaching perspective, with Master Certified Business Coach Doug DeFeller. Hey, Doug.
Hey, Paul. Glad to be with you here today on take two. If you've been listening live, we're doing the intro over again. You know, it's only been 7 years. We're still new at this. Well, look, I'm a Master Certified Coach by the International Coach Federation, and I've been coaching leaders and their teams for 21 years, helping them to clarify their objectives and reach their goals. And if you'd like to know more about my coaching service, just go to the website, thecoachingperspective.com. So much for the commercial. Well, we have a lovely guest for you today, Lisa Reed. She is a returning engagement. This will be her third show she's done with us, but it's been a little while, so we're glad to have her here. She's from Productive Learning, among other things, which she'll tell you. In addition to being a speaker and a trainer for Productive Learning, she is the founder of the OC Speakers Network. That's www.ocspeakersnetwork.com. And it is through working with so many different speakers that she began to coach speakers who wanted to get their own speaking engagements. And after years of booking and delivering her own speaking gigs, she decided to show other speakers the secret formula for how to get their messages heard. Because she's also out speaking for Productive Learning, she only takes a small handful of clients. Okay, now we've got the scarcity factor. Hurry up, call in right now, and we can book you as one of her clients. Lisa, welcome back to the Coaching
Thank
Perspective.
Thank you, Doug. It's always a pleasure. I love the Coaching Perspective.
And I love the OC Speakers Network. I wish I could get to it every single month. I miss it the months I can't get there.
We miss you, too.
Oh, thank you. Well, look, what are we going to talk about here today? I know you've got a new book, How to Get More Speaking.
No, I don't have my book yet.
No.
I'm thinking about writing a book.
We talked about it before the show. That's so much for memory.
I guess now
she did a book a year ago.
Yeah.
But it was on management topics. She should be doing a book on how to get more speaking gigs. But she's got a website. She's got a URL. Tell us about it. What are you doing with it, and how'd you get into it?
Yeah, great question. So I've been speaking, as you mentioned in the intro, gosh, I've done over 300 different speaking engagements in the last 4 years.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm out there. I had one this morning, in fact. I was there at an association conference today in Pomona. But I found that the reason I started the speaking network, the OC Speakers Network, originally was because I thought it'd be great to hang out with other speakers and learn from them, and maybe we could share leads and get to know each other and, you know, help each other out. I'm a big collaborative thinker. And so over the years, yes, we've had the Speakers Network for 4 years strong. People kept assuming that I also had a speaking business because of the Speakers Network. And I kept saying...
Like me.
Yeah, exactly. They think you're like a radio, you know, because you have a radio show. So I had this one conversation with this gentleman, and it was on the phone, and he had said, well, tell me about your speaking business. And I explained what I typically would say to a speaker, you know, I don't have a speaking business. This is just something I do for my job. I can help, and I have the network. We're all supposed to help each other. That's the best thing I can tell you right now, because I don't have time to like explain how to do it all. And I hung up the phone and I thought, that's it. I'm never saying that again. Like, clearly there's a need. There's people that I have in my, you know, circle who keep coming to me and keep, you know, who I get to know, and they have messages that need to be heard. And I know how to help them. I know how to do that. I know how to get speaking gigs. Clearly I've done it 300 plus times. And so I thought, okay. So I hung up the phone, had that little conversation with myself, and decided I do now have a speaking business. And that was a few months ago. And actually, I really do have one.
You know, Lisa and I were talking about this before the show. And as a coach, a number of times I've talked to people who were new coaches and said, oh, would you like to be on the radio show? And they always tell me, well, no, I'm a brand new coach. I have nothing to talk about. Mm-hmm. And I go, yes, you do. Everybody has something to talk about. You're a person. You're interesting. I want you to be on the show. And then afterwards, it's amazing.
New coaches, and so they
get them on the show, and in the process of interviewing them, it becomes obvious to them what their coaching niche is.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sort of relating it to somebody else pointing out to you, well, you're in that business. No, I'm not. Yes, I am.
Yes, absolutely. And I had that mirror held up a few times by some very intelligent people and people who are mentors of mine. And I kept putting it aside because I had other projects that I was working on. And I finally got to that point where I thought, okay, I'm here. I hear the message now. I'm ready to hear it. I'm ready to do it. Let's see how we can do it. So I formulated the company GetSpeakingGigsNow.com. And I know a lot of coaches find that speaking gigs are a great way to generate new clients. And there's different coaches for so many different things. There's like coaching for dating and coaching for your relationship and coaching for your business and bigger business, smaller business, certain types of business, industries. There's a million different ways that people in our society need different coaches and need help. And then, of course, they have to resonate with that person on a, like, professionally, personally, like, if it's an intimate relationship, mm-hmm. I would say. And so it's nice to have someone have choices, and you get to hear people speak. You get to hear about what they do and their style. It's a great way to generate new clients.
So is this primarily why people do speaking? Do they do it financially because they get rich from it? Probably not. Do they do it to just drive new clients? Do they do it to build their reputation? What are the reasons that people usually want to become active speakers?
I think those that you listed are actually all very realistic results for a lot of people. But I don't think that's where it starts.
Oh, okay.
I don't think that's what they're motivated by initially. Because I meet so many different speakers from so many different industries, walks of life, all these different things. It's actually something within a person. It's going to sound a little cheesy here, but it's like there's something inside of them, a message that needs to get out. And I'd say that because it even happens to people who are terrified to speak, and that message keeps getting louder and louder, where finally they're like, I finally came to the OC Speakers Network because I've been pushing it aside that I want to be a speaker or I have something that I need to share, and I'm ready to do it. And like we were talking earlier off the air, I have attorneys in there, I have financial advisors in there, and then I have like energy healers and all different types, bankers, you know what I mean? It really crosses all the industries because any professional could take their knowledge and bring it to stage. But not every professional will want to do that. It's not within everyone's dream.
So what I hear you saying is the business benefits are more the results.
The motivating
drive is a desire to share some knowledge.
Yeah, it's similar like with books. Like we were talking about people writing books, and some people just they have this book in them that's dying to get out. It's the same as the speech. Now, there's also people who have both of those things within them, and it never gets out. And I want to be a conduit to make sure that we can make it possible for you to get your message out there.
Okay. So what are the, as a speaker coach, getting mm-hmm. more gigs, speaker coach,
yep.
what are the steps that you usually take them through?
I have a workshop series that I have broken it down into 6 pieces, and I'm realizing I need to actually add more to that. But the first, I'll share 3, and then we'll see how many we get.
Okay.
To.
All right.
The first one, this is going to sound super obvious, and I say this because there are so many people who tell me they want to speak and they don't actually have this done. And that is, you actually have to have a presentation ready to go. Right? Seems so like that's easy. Why, you know, why would I have to tell people that? Because they don't have them done yet. Still.
I'll do it after I get my gig.
Yeah. I've got to get my paperclips organized first. And so it's hard because it's our own stuff. We're vulnerable. We question maybe, is this the right thing? And so doing it on your own can be scary. You have the knowledge, but like there's also the doubt, like, is this going to work out? Or am I saying the right thing? How do I incorporate selling without seeming like I'm selling? Is anyone going to want to hear my message? So there's a lot of emotional stuff that also goes into it. It seems like such a intellectual process, but it is also emotional because it's our stuff. It's more vulnerable. and people, what are mm-hmm. they, you know, what are they going to think about it?
But how can I get my presentation ready when what I've been told for years is, this is hypothetical, is that you have to tailor your presentation to the audience. I don't know who the audience is yet.
Right.
You know, you have to tailor it to the environment you're speaking in, to the amount of time that you've got.
Right.
So what? How do you deal with that in terms
That's
of getting ready?
That's a great question. And you still have to start somewhere. You have to start at the beginning. You still have to do something. And so I give people a structure of how to start. I usually start at the end, and then we work our way backwards.
The
like,
end meaning?
The end, like, what's your end result? If you're going to go speak somewhere,
yep.
where would you like to, like, what do you want to get out of it? Like, is it that you just want to feel great? Or is it that you want clients? Or is it that you're selling your book? Or, like, what is this leading you to? What are you leading the audience to? And then you back it out from there.
And you know what? I think as somebody in the audience listening to speakers, I think that the speakers that have that clearly in mind are the ones that I would later describe as passionate about their topic.
Mm-hmm.
The ones that don't have that in mind, I would say, are not passionate because they just deliver encyclopedia information.
Absolutely. Yeah, and you want to have that certain emotional connection with the audience. So all the pieces that you said before, what about how do I tailor it and how do I expand it? And I do that. I have this same presentation I've given a couple hundred times. And I have given that exact same presentation in 10 minutes and in 2 hours. So there is a gift. Now, did I say everything in the 10 minutes that I did in the 2 hours? Of course not.
No.
But there is a way in which you can expand and contract it. And so I tell people, start with a 30-minute, you know, start with 30 minutes, because that's out of the speaking gigs I get. Usually that's a good middle ground. It's usually 20 minutes to an hour is a typical time. So 30 minutes is fair. And then you learn to add or subtract as needed.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's definitely one of the things. And the reason I really, really, you know, encourage this particular thing, having your presentation ready, is because if you don't have it ready, you will not be very confident if someone says, hey, Doug, tomorrow I've got a speaking engagement. I got a cancellation. Can you do it? You're not going to say yes because you don't have it ready. Or if I said, well, I need a speaker in a few months. You'll say, oh, well, I don't have my presentation ready. So I'll call you. You're not going to jump at the chances. You're going to shut them down.
And the worst one is when, you know, people say, I'd like to be on the radio show, which is a speaking engagement.
Yes, it is.
And I go, okay, great. What do you have to talk about? Well, I don't know. What would you like me to talk about? Well,
no.
I don't know you well enough to know what you should talk about.
Right.
You tell me.
Yeah, you want to have... So, same thing. That's another thing that I teach in my webinar. It's the free webinar they can grab on my site, but to repurpose. So, when you have your talk, repurpose it. And I think... meaning radio. Did I rewrite a completely new topic for our interview today? No, I took what I've already taught.
Oh.
except for there's extra special things.
Okay.
But your website and your, you know, if it's a webinar, like how can you reuse your, you know, on your LinkedIn, how can you reuse the work that you've already put in, maybe a book or a blog or something like that? It's your property. You wrote it. So use it.
You know, I just have to stop here. I think repurposing is one of the most critical things for people to learn, because otherwise you don't have enough time to do much of this. Paul and I did two radio shows on using internet radio and podcasting. And so each one was an hour long. That's 2 hours. I was then asked to speak at a coaching conference, 20 minutes. Same topic. I had to change it completely to be able to deliver it in 20 minutes. After I delivered it in 20 minutes, it was like, oh, then let's put that one on the radio show. There's another radio show. There's another podcast. Mm-hmm. Gee, why don't I write that out as a PDF, make that available on the website? All of that from the same piece of information. So it's so easy to repurpose and modify rather than from scratch.
Yeah, we get into that thing that thinks we have to create something new. And sometimes another part that I help people with, and I got this question earlier this week from a client. She says, well, what if they don't want the topic that I have? Like, how do I tell them what to? I go, no. You speak on what you speak on. And if that doesn't fit for that audience, you need to move on. Or, you know, have an additional dialogue to see, like, are you in alignment? I consider a speaker and an audience like matchmaking. Like, you don't want to force something that's not fitting.
Right.
And one thing that's great about the topic I usually deliver, creating a winning mindset, is that all the audiences I've had so far have, they're human, so they do have a mind, you know, they have minds. And so it does cross over. I'm very lucky that my topic is very versatile. But, you know, in terms of if I spoke on get speaking gigs now, I mean, I would talk to entrepreneurs, business owners, maybe people who have a strong desire to be speakers. But that's not going to be every single audience. You know, that's not going to be for everybody.
Okay.
So you have to, at one point, hold your ground, but also be smart about, you know, you don't just change your topic because I've had that sometimes where they'll say, well, creating winning mindset, we're having issues with customer service. Can you talk about customer service instead? I'm like, no, that's not what I talk about. Now I could incorporate customer service into your mindset and we can talk about it that way, but I'm not going to completely revamp my talk based on one person's,
okay,
you know, ask.
What I'm hearing you say is, okay, so number one here that you've given us is have a presentation ready, mm-hmm. sort of a generic presentation that can be tailored to whatever
yes.
the situation is going to be that comes up. I would assume that included in that might be, if I'm talking to someone, I might have two or three different titles for the same presentation.
Yes,
that's
you could
a
do that.
Twist on what the orientation is going to be.
Yes, and it, like anything, it's always course correction. Like, you got to, I would say, throw spaghetti on the wall and see what sticks. I mean, when you start, you got to start somewhere.
Yeah.
And then if you're not getting any interest, well, then yes, maybe you need to shift your content or shift your title, or you go out and do a few and you start to shift it and change it a little bit. Like, actually, I don't do my talk the same. Even though I do the same talk hundreds of times, I don't do it exactly the same every day, every time. You know, it depends on the audience. Today I was talking to case managers, so we talked about the stresses of that involved in, you know, our mindset.
Okay, so that's number one. What's
number two is have a plan. Which ties in a little bit what I was saying before, in terms of what's your end result. But I even go deeper than that. Like, what is your plan financially? Like you had said, are people doing this for all the money? And are they doing it for clients? Well, I don't know. If you want to use speaking for that, then you need to have a plan. You need to think, how many clients would I feasibly get from this talk? What's my ideal audience number? Who's my target audience? What's my price point? What am I driving them to? Am I actually selling something? Am I driving them to my website to, you know, get a free report on something, or giving them tickets to something, or having them purchase my program? Like, there's a million ways to Sunday of how you're going to monetize your talk. But of course, you need to have a plan of how you're going to do that. So you definitely want to have a plan. You definitely need to decide how many topics you're going to have. I always tell them, start with one for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Start with one for sure. Then add as needed. The reason I like to have, I'd say, three in your pocket is because what if they love you so much they want you to come back? And they'll say, well, what else do you talk about? So you want to have, you want to have something in your pocket there. So I have three that I rotate. One that I do primarily, I'll start people with that, and then if they want another one, then I'll have them come back and do another one. But if you don't have a plan, you don't really get that benefit of selling the one to many. You're back to just selling one to one, you know, having a personal conversation with one person versus having the opportunity to take a networking opportunity. Like, if you go to a networking meeting, wouldn't it be great if you were the one speaking for the whole time? Instead of just a 30-second commercial?
Yeah.
Yes. So it's a great way to network. So build that into your plan, too. You also need to really decide what your resources are in terms of your time and attention. A lot of times people tell me, oh, I want to be a speaker. I want to speak more. You know, more. I was like, oh, great. How often do you want to speak? I want to speak 8 times a month, which is twice a week. I'm like, cool. Okay, great. How many times are you speaking now? Like once every 6 months. okay, from going once every 6 months to eight times a month, I don't think that person has any idea how much time that's going to take. It's a lot of time. I do speak sometimes that many times a month, but that's what I do for full time. That is how I market my business full time. We need to consider all of those options, like what time do you have invested in terms of calling and, you know, emailing out, or are you going to have help to book yourself? How can we get you up to speed? You know, because I can definitely do that. I know how to do that. But does that fit into all the other responsibilities you have? Like, are you delivering coaching to your clients? Are you delivering, you know, how many hours a week are you doing that? What's your schedule there? So you have to think about all of that, all of those categories.
So part of the having a plan is have a number of topics.
Absolutely.
Have a plan in the sense of how much time are you willing to commit to speaking engagements. Mm-hmm.
Well, then how much you want to see, how much is it translating? Like, if you have a monetization plan, you're like, okay, if I do X amount of talks and I'm going to for X amount of audience members, then I'm going to get X amount of clients. I could, you know, say, be conservative, I get 10% of the room become my client. That translates to X amount of dollars. Cool. Okay. Now we're starting to talk. Now we're starting to see like what would work. But then you also do need to figure out your time. How much time can you dedicate to getting the bookings and delivering the talks too?
If somebody wants to start speaking, is it realistic that all of their talks would be geared to an audience that they could monetize, that would buy their services, buy their book, whatever? Or is it expected that half of their talks are going to be to groups that they have no clue whether this is the appropriate group to buy their services or not? Or shotgun or focused?
I think focused for sure. I think here's, like, I would say that's what part of the plan is, like, who's your target market?
Okay.
Who is your target audience? Because otherwise it's kind of like I could go on a million dates with just anybody. But
your husband wouldn't like that.
That's true. But you know what I mean? Like, you don't want to just date anyone because they're nice. You want to date people. You're starting to narrow it down, like, who's a match for me? And I would say the same for speakers. The time I would say to expand that would be maybe when you're starting out, speak to, be a little more open to who you'd speak to, or just so you could get some practice.
Okay.
And not worry so much about it turning into a client, but just like, let me get the tweaks out. Let me actually practice in front of a live audience where there's a little lower risk. You know, it's not like your perfect audience the very first time you go out there. That would be one way where I'd say that's cool. You can do that.
Okay. So the plan is, what is your end goal in mind? Who are you going to deliver this to? What are you going to sell them? What's your expectation in terms of actions from the group?
Yes, okay. Absolutely. And also I already said it. Okay. So the third thing that I say for people to do, and that is book yourself for a speaking engagement. And what I mean by that is, if you have something on the calendar, like, even if it's you're hosting your own event, like, I'm going to do a talk on ABC on December 2nd at Hotel XYZ at 7 o'clock, then I psychologically will be ready by that time. You know, I will have, if you put that stake in the ground and you say, okay, this is it. I'm going to be speaking on this day, and you say it out loud and you tell people about it. Well, I bet you'll have your talk done, and I bet you'll have everything ready. And I say that, so I say book your gig now, you know, is give yourself the time that you need. But then that way, that gives you something to work towards. And that means no turning back. Now you have to, you've committed. And I think there's something really powerful in doing that, because we can hide. Speaking isn't a requirement for people, just like writing a book. Don't have to do it. But there is something in you saying, yes, this is a great idea. I must do this. But there's not really anybody, you know, driving you. It has to come from within. So sometimes if you put something out there publicly, it helps to motivate you to actually get it done.
So you're going to calendar your first presentation.
Yeah.
Even though you don't have it.
Well, yeah, and hopefully you have something, but yes.
You're gonna set a target. I'm going to be ready. I'm going to deliver. I'm going to have this date.
Yes. Oh. And so many times, I'm telling you, I've had the OC Speakers Network for 4 years. I will have somebody, you know, and literally years go by, and they're still talking about having this speaking engagement. And certainly this isn't everybody, but just, you know, I notice, you know, over the years certain times that does occur. And I think, what are you waiting for? Let's get this done. And sometimes we just need that little kick in the pants. You know, we just
see. I know what they're waiting for.
What are they waiting for?
They're
Doug?
Waiting.
waiting for them to be perfect.
They're waiting for somebody to come knock on the door and say, "I want you to come speak."
Right.
They're not going out and looking.
But
because we don't know how to do that, and we can't handle the rejection on that.
I know.
To me, that Sad. I'm waiting for you to get to that. Because to me, that's the hardest part.
It is
of speaking gigs is getting the speaking gig.
It is. And so that's why I start people at the beginning. And the beginning is actually having a topic.
All right.
So many people tell me they want speaking gigs. I say, great. What do you speak about? And yeah. That's what I hear. Crickets, right? And I'm like, you need to have a topic ready to go first. Then there's a few other things, of course, in between there. Not too much. Very doable. But then you'll be more confident to ask for that speaking gig when someone approaches you. Say your dreams come true. Prince Charming knocks on the door and says, you know, I have this speak. Could you be our speaker, please? And you'll say, of course, I'd be honored. But if you don't have your talk and you have no plan, it's going to be a little trickier. We're going to shy away from that opportunity. So we can hide behind this, like, I want to be a speaker story for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, at one point, when is the rubber going to meet the road?
You know, I had a situation come up a couple months ago that I hadn't run into before. I've got my topics. I've given them. I do a lot of speaking.
Mm-hmm.
But all of a sudden, there was a speaking engagement I wanted to get, and I applied for it. And then they came back and said, okay, would you send your audio tape?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going, audio tape? What audio tape? Nobody's ever asked me.
You didn't send them an 8-track? Did you send them an 8-track?
I didn't send them an 8-track. Oh, this hurts. you know,
I'm just kidding.
Yeah. They could have asked for
they
video.
Want a video.
That would have really.
They wanted audio
or video. Oh. They didn't care. But they wanted something where I was presenting.
Mm-hmm.
Already presenting.
Yeah.
And luckily, I mean, I have umpteen thousand radio shows that I could send them. But for a lot of people, okay, this is their first speaking engagement. Now what do I do?
Right.
Is that part of getting ready?
It is. Yeah. One of the things that, so I have the workshop series that I do, there is, I don't think I have all the topics here, but it starts with getting the presentation. The second one is getting your speaker sheet done. Oh. And that is.
I thought the second one was to have a plan.
Well, no. See, I told you I had secret ones just for this interview.
Okay.
That's the other thing that I'll tell people is that we'll work on getting the speaker sheet done and what needs to be in place for that. I'm not a designer. I don't claim to be. I don't play one on TV. So I'm not a designer, but I give some resources, but let them know what needs to be in the speaker sheet. And I have found 99% of the time the speaker sheet is all I need. Okay. Now, when you're doing more, like I know, national, where they're doing, you know, maybe you're keynoting or travel, yeah, that's when you're definitely going to start getting into needing video. And I have one if they want it. I have one. I have a bunch of stuff on YouTube. That's another easy way to do it, is just have your own YouTube channel, shoot a bunch of videos and put them on there. That's a whole other Oprah. But, you know, you don't have to spend thousands of dollars to get video.
So let's back up. Many people don't know what a speaker sheet is.
Oh, yes. Sorry. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you for clarifying. It's like your resume, let's just say, of if you're applying for a job, you give a resume. If you're applying for a speaking gig, you give a speaker sheet, or it's also referred to as a one sheet. And it can be more than one sheet. It could be one or two sheets. I try to keep it all on one page. And it's got your topic or topics on there. Some people say just only have one topic per speaker sheet. It depends on your opinion on that. I don't think you should give people too many choices. would have your bio, your testimonials, maybe some logos, like you would have OC Talk Radio on there, the coaching perspective on there, any, you know, ICF and different logos of affiliations you've had or clients that you've worked with. And then you would also have, you know, if you wrote a book, you'd have that on there. So there's pieces that need to be put together. And then, of course, you want to brand it and it would look like it matched your other stuff.
You know, I'll just tell you that I get a lot of people contacting me wanting to be on the radio show. Mm-hmm. And when people send me a speaker sheet, which isn't very often, boy, does the process move ahead much quicker.
You've got all your answers there.
I've got everything right there.
Easy peasy.
All of a sudden, I've got the confidence that this person is serious. They're going to show up when we schedule it. They're ready mm-hmm. to go. I'm not going to have to chase them for information.
Yep.
You know, they aren't going to forget to send me stuff. I mean, they're all ready to go.
Yeah, it's a simple thing that, you know, takes a little bit of putting pieces together and leading your graphic designer, but it is probably one of the most powerful tools I use. And then I just, you know, maybe attach it accidentally on purpose to when I email to people.
Yeah.
But very, very powerful tool. And I, most of the time, that's all I need versus, okay. you know, the video.
And the video is an easy thing to do. It can be speaking to nobody or speaking to four people.
It could be speaking to your cat. No.
Yeah. You don't have a cat. Don't want a cat.
People can make it. It can be, let's say, I think people get intimidated when they see other people's stuff. Mm-hmm. That coach does this and I'm not that fancy or, oh, I don't have that great of a whatever, fill in the blank, and we can get a little scared or intimidated by our competition if we see it as competition. And I say, just start where you are. Start with what you have. Start with the budget that you can afford. And then if you want to get bigger budget and bigger quality later, you can. It's all good. The person who's booking this speaking event just wants to make sure they don't look bad.
Right.
They just want to make sure that you are going to deliver, the audience is going to love it, and that they're going to be told, wow, you did a great job booking the speakers this year, Fred. Everybody loved you.
Now, are most the people that you work with, are they going to go out and find and book their own speaking engagements, or are they going to hire somebody to get them speaking engagements?
They'll probably get them themselves first. And then what I would recommend is learn how to do it yourself and then hire. Because the person that you hire will need some guidance and direction. So it's better if you already know what audiences you like, what works for you, how far you're going to go, what to say. You've tested out, so you've got a little bit of a system that already works prior to hiring someone. But anything goes. That's what's cool about speaking. It can be any way you want it to be. If you hate calling and doing that stuff, then hire somebody. Virtual assistants. There's tons of people that will do that.
Well, and you don't have to. I hate calling. I hate cold calling. You know, just I will do everything to avoid it. So I'll email you.
Perfect.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I'm very comfortable with that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I know that I frequently get representatives of speakers sending me material. Would you like to interview so-and-so on your radio show?
Mm-hmm.
And it's not usually as convincing as when the person contacts me.
The
person
relationship
knows more, yeah. has done more detailed research. They know what the show's about. They've heard it. They mention it. I heard Lisa Reed on your show, and I thought I could add something to it.
Yeah, that probably
know.
Happens all the time.
Yeah, that happens all the time. Happened last night. I told you that.
Oh, that's true. It did, yes.
So, but, you know, either one works. But I don't think people should be afraid to do it themselves. It doesn't come off looking like you can't afford a broker.
Right. Yeah. And there's so many different ways in which you could end up spending a lot of money having assistance. So there's, like I said, the speaking industry is very broad. I mean, you can have a if your strategy is to, you know, you want to travel and you want to speak at conferences and, you know, get only paid speaking engagements, but you're going to do keynotes or something like that, that's a completely different strategy than speaking locally in your own backyard to get local clients to you, which is the strategy that I use because our business is local. But that strategy works. I get hundreds of clients each year. So
one of the most interesting strategies I heard was a coach who had contacted a cruise line, and they had gotten booked to speak to cruise ships.
Yeah.
And the deal was they had to be ready to go at almost a moment's notice, and then they would be flown to wherever, meet the ship, give their presentation, leave a day or two later. They didn't make a lot of money off of it, but that wasn't. But they got to go on these cruises.
Yeah, exactly.
And that was their whole objective.
That's
I thought that was cool.
A friend of mine just, that happened to her. She told me on Monday night that she, a woman said, hey, I'd like for you to come and coach me and my friends on our, we're going on a cruise. We're going to pay for you to come with us. And it's really casual. And can you just coach us while we're there? Voila.
Wow.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. She said, I didn't think
give
that was possible.
Name.
I'm like, absolutely it's possible. I'm actually wondering, she might have been on the show. But so it's really kind of cool. Whatever you want to create, and I'll ask people, I'll say, well, do you want to travel? It's usually a hard yes or a hard no. So, or maybe it's like, well, I would go to here, but I don't really want to do that. You know, so again, I'm not interested in traveling for speaking necessarily. I do occasionally will do it, but I've got my 14-year-old daughter at home. Like, I want to be home and hanging out.
Yeah. Well, you've given us the top three things. I assume that's kind of the teaser of what you deliver in your workshop.
Yes, yes. In our workshop, we actually, you know, it is called a workshop because I do expect that we're going to actually get some of this stuff done in the class. Or at least get you started, get the ball rolling. Because again, when you're working on your own, you can put it off and not end up doing it and procrastinating. And so I think if you come to the gym, you work out. You come to the workshop, you get this stuff done.
So tell me a little more detail about your business. If I want to hire you, mm-hmm. I want to do more speaking engagements. What is our relationship? How often do we meet? How do we meet? Is it just a workshop with a group? Is it one-on-one? How do you work?
Well, currently I work with clients one-on-one, and I have a program that they can take over. I like to work in 90-day increments because I think we can get what we need done in 90 days.
Well, good.
And yeah, I do a call with them, about a 30-minute call, more if needed, once a week for 3 weeks out of the month we do a call. I start with them before we start that calling, I do an initial evaluation. What do you have? What do you not have? What do you need? What are you trying to do? I want to make sure that we can actually get everything done in 90 days and that you're committed to the process. And then we just start from there. So what I have found is that each person has some of the pieces, all the pieces, none of the pieces. So I customize it depending on what they need. And my goal is that they have a speaking engagement booked by the time our 90 days is over. I actually give a cashback bonus if they have that booked.
Whoa.
Yeah, so, I mean, I really want them to do it. Because I know that that's such a, like I said, that's that psychological thing. Like, if you have it, you'll get all this stuff done. You can't say no anymore. It's going to happen. So that's really exciting. The training I'm doing live right now, it goes through November, and it's six different sessions. So separate thing. It is live in person. People can go to the meetup group. It's called Get Speaking Gigs Now, and jump in to wherever we are in the training. And we break down into six different topics of different things that they're going to need to get done. That is a live session. I don't know how long I'll continue that. It's a great opportunity for me to get the content all delivered. See, I take my own advice, Doug. I set stuff on the calendar, and then gosh darn it, people are relying on me. I got to get it done.
Repurposed. I can see it now.
Exactly. That will eventually be an online program and a group program that people can partake. That way, it's not just limited to people in Orange County. It's available across the country.
But if somebody comes to you for your 90-day program, mm-hmm. how often do they meet with you?
Once a week for 3 weeks. 3 weeks out of the month, we'll meet on the phone.
Okay, on the phone.
Mm-hmm. And if they're close
and
by,
they'll have work to do in between.
Yes, they will. That's why I break it down into small pieces. It's some heady creative work, and I appreciate that that takes some time and energy, so I try to bite-size it.
Okay, now, we started out by saying that you are so busy that you only have a handful of clients. Do you have room for more clients if somebody's listening?
Yes, and that's why I'm doing the group program.
Okay.
Because I thought I probably need to start the group program so that I can continue helping people. So I will launch that probably in December. Okay, I'll launch it in December.
I got it down.
It's official.
Hey, we're getting close to running out of time. What else do you want to share with the audience before we wrap up in a few minutes here? I know I always sidetrack
the
guests.
No, this is good. Really, I hope there's someone listening out there who is thinking, okay, she's talking to me. She knows. I've got that thing. I've been needing to do this. And all right, fine, I'll do it. And that's really who I love to work with. Like, there's this seed within you that needs to be sprouted. And I 100% believe it's possible. Even if my client doesn't believe it yet, I know that it's possible. Because I've seen so many people do it. It's just, you just want it bad enough, then it'll happen. But it's a matter of, you know, whether it's strategy, like the things you actually have to get in place. I'll share every secret I know that's going to help you. Or if it's a mindset thing, I happen to be really good at that too. And we'll just carve through all that stuff and get you out there.
Did you want to talk about productive learning at all?
Yeah.
Before we...
Yes. So speaking
your other business.
My other business. Speaking of speaking engagements, I am delivering a webinar for productive learning. Gosh, we've been in business 25 years, and this will be our first ever live webinar.
Oh, you're right on the cutting edge.
We're on the cutting edge. I know, right? Isn't that amazing? But actually, it's so cool because we take such pride in experiential learning, which is not webinar necessarily. We teach our workshops in person. Mm-hmm. And for so many reasons, it's so powerful and you get the energy of all the people. But we realize that our clients want a way to share what we do, like the magic of what we do. Maybe they can't explain it themselves. They felt it, but they can't teach it to their friend. They can't. So this is a way where our clients can experience the webinar and they can also pass that along to a friend. So the friend can start to see like what we do, and they're going to learn. It's called the 3 Keys to Transformation. It's on October 19th at 11:30 Pacific Standard Time. And I guess I would need to send you the link for that or something, right?
Okay.
I don't know. They're like, how would I find that?
So number one, before you speak, is have a presentation. That would be knowing the link.
Yes. Gosh. I wasn't expecting to talk about that.
Send me the link. Okay. We'll put it when we post today's show. We'll put the link on there. That's not a problem at all. Great. I'm glad you're sharing that.
Yeah.
Great. What else? Anything else?
Oh, my gosh.
How do people get a hold of you?
How do people get a hold of me? They can go to getspeakinggigsnow.com. Then they can, if they're local, you're in Orange County, and you want to hang out with us at the Speakers Network, we're on Meetup, which is under ocspeakersnetwork.com.
Okay.
If you want to be in the group session, the workshops that I was talking about, that's also on Meetup, and that's at getspeakinggigsnow.com.
Okay.
Or getspeakinggigsnow, sorry, is the name of the Meetup. If they can't find me, then they're just not looking hard enough, Doug. There's so many ways. Just kidding.
How many pages do I get if I Google you?
Oh, I don't know. Hopefully it's all good.
I listened to a speech a few weeks ago. It was called Hack Yourself Now.
Ooh, that sounds good.
And it was talking about the fact that we don't realize what our online presence is, some of which we've bought and paid for and control, like our website. But much of it is out there because it's just been picked up and put out there. Pieces. So it's always helpful to go hack yourself on.
I've done that a few times. Yeah. I didn't count the pages, but I have done that every once in a while. I have my name is spelled different, L-E-I-S-A, and it's now that I'm married with the last name of Reed, there is an actress who spells her name the same way.
No kidding.
Yeah. So. Huh.
Can you get her to change it?
I don't know. I don't think so. But I have lisareed.com, so.
Well, look, Lisa, thank you very much for being on the show again, for your
thank
excitement,
you.
Your enthusiastic presentation. Obviously, you love to speak.
I do.
What I have learned from you is you love to help people more than anything else, and that comes through clearly.
Absolutely.
So thank you very much, and
thank you.
Welcome back to the Coaching Perspective Radio Show community.
Thank you.
Well, look, if you are listening to our podcast, then thank you for visiting our website, thecoachingperspective.com. Be sure to check out our archives for other shows with some great guests, maybe not as great as Lisa, but they're still great. And speaking of guests, we're always scheduling guests, so if you'd like to be on the show, just send me an email, doug@thecoachingperspective.com, or better yet, go to the website. There's a place to sign up for the newsletter or to say that you're interested in being on the show. Well, look, I hope you've enjoyed the show today. Our goal, as always, is to have discussions that provide you with new ideas and information that you can put to use immediately to identify and achieve your goals. Have a great evening. I'll miss you next week because of a conflict in my schedule, but we'll be back again in October.
You've been listening to the one show that takes a look at business from a different perspective, The Coaching Perspective, with Master Certified Business Coach Doug DeFeller.